You're listening to the Crosscheck NHL Show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark.
Hello, and welcome to the Crosscheck NHL Show. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. My name is Mary Clark, staff writer for The Win, and you can follow me on Twitter at Mary C. Clark. I'm here with Andrew Berkshire, NHL analyst for the Montreal Gazette. You can follow on Twitter at Andrew Berkshire. On this Tuesday edition of the Crosscheck, the Arizona Coyotes are headed out of Glendale after next season, but will they stay in the desert? Next, we'll touch on Henrik Lundqvist's retirement and his legacy within the sport of hockey. Plus, we'll continue our off-season Locked On NHL crossovers with interviews with Kyle Demetrius and JD Young of Locked On Sharks.
And Adam Denker of Locked On Lightning.
So Andrew, before we start off today's show, how you doing?
I am too warm, Mary. I'm far too warm. For American listeners, it was like 109, 110 degrees all weekend here in Montreal. There was no breaks. Spent as much time as I could at the water park with the kids, but like even then, it became like too much for them, and you're just, their cheeks get so red, they're like two apples on their face. And you're like, okay, we got to go inside. And then even I have three air conditioning units here, and they still weren't catching up with the heat. It's brutal. So it's supposed to cool down at some point at the end of the week, and I can't wait for that. But this week, like, I don't even know if I can cook inside. We got a barbecue instead, because any added heat to this apartment is going to be too much. How about yourself?
It is thankfully not that hot here. It's 85 degrees for my, Fahrenheit people out there, shout out to you, because I always feel not underrepresented in this podcast, but I always feel shamed for my lack of knowledge of Celsius. But that's okay, we don't have to get into that now. But it's all right here. I mean, it's the same as it always has been out here in Pennsylvania. I am hoping that we will get to fall weather soon, because I do enjoy summer, but I'm at that point where I'm like, I would like some fall weather, please. I would like, you know, the leaves changing colors, pumpkins, Halloween season. I'm ready for fall season. And it's usually one of my favorite times of year in terms of the atmosphere. So I'm really looking forward to fall season, because then we'll also get more hockey too. So we won't have to, come at you with, news and like news that isn't always as exciting or fun to talk about, but we'll get there. We'll get through this off season together, and it's much shorter than previous years, so it's all good.
Yeah, I'm ready for cooler weather, but not like, I don't think I'm ready for fall yet. Like, I enjoy summer. I just don't want it to be over 40 degrees Celsius. That's too much. Like, okay. I can't even go on a bike ride and enjoy it, Like, it's just too much. You, like, feel the weight of the humidity when you go outside. It's, like, pushing down on your shoulders. Too hot. Yeah, I want it to just cool down, even into, like, the mid-30s, so we can go to the pool and hang out. And then when things get a little bit cooler, so I can open the windows.
get
some fresh air in the apartment.
Yeah.
But hopefully we're getting there soon. But other than that, I think everyone is pretty excited for this season coming up now. And I know I'm getting excited the more interviews we do with different Locked On hosts and seeing like where teams are at and getting a better expectation of how the season's going to go. But I guess, did you see the news about Jimmy Hayes before we get too deep into the podcast?
No, I didn't.
Jimmy Hayes, former Bruin, former Blackhawk, I think he played for a couple other teams. He passed away out of nowhere. He was 31 years old. I don't know, obviously, the details. That hasn't been released yet, but extremely sad news.
Yeah.
This is like the second year in a row, I think, that we've lost a really young NHLer after, I think it was Caleb Jones last year of the Oilers.
Yeah, no, this is my first time of hearing of this. I wasn't on Twitter before we recorded this podcast, so I didn't see this. So, no, that is incredibly unfortunate. Obviously, like you said, no, there's no cause of death known at the moment. According to this Hockey News article I just pulled up on it, he played 334 NHL games in his career, registering 109 points for Chicago, Florida, Boston, and New Jersey. So, yeah, that is incredibly unfortunate to hear. I, hope all the best for his family and friends and former teammates in this time. And, Yeah, that is a really unfortunate situation to lead off the podcast with. So.
Sorry about that. But no, I should correct myself. It wasn't Caleb Jones who died. He was the one who was traded to Chicago. It was Colby Cave who passed away last year.
Yes.
So I just want to get that out there before a bunch of people were like, Caleb Jones is not dead. Like, yeah, okay, sorry.
No, it's all good. It's been, like, we've talked about it on this podcast. This past year has been some of the worst in terms of, you know, turning my brain into mush in terms of my memory, so I completely get it. But we're gonna switch tracks just a bit here to talk about one of the two bigger stories we have before we head into our interviews. The Coyotes are likely headed out of Glendale as the city of Glendale terminated the Coyotes' lease for the city-owned is it Gila River Arena? Gila River,
yeah. Or yeah, okay. I think it's Gila.
Gila River Arena? All right.
Yeah, because it's the same word as the Gila Monster, which is a lizard in Arizona.
Okay, that's never how I pronounced it, but as you have seen and heard on this podcast, I am terrible at pronunciations. So, perfect. Thank you for, you know, giving me some knowledge today. But the lease for that arena has been terminated. So after the 2021-22 season, the Coyotes are out of Glendale, or at least for lack of a better word, without a home for the season after next.
Is it after next, or I thought it was terminated immediately?
No, it's after next.
It's not so too much of a panic.
No. Well, I mean, it depends on how much. I mean, it depends, because it depends on how you feel about, you know, possibly them relocating. Are they going to stay in Arizona? That's kind of like the big question I have here. There's more details, I think, in terms of, like, you know, the minute financial stuff. But, like, the big deal was that Glendale terminated the contract, so they have a year to – they only have this next year. So they'll have to vacate by June 30th of next year, which includes, you know, obviously the team, but also they have their – like, the team's, like, front office facilities were also in the arena. So they'll have to vacate those as well.
Yeah. So I mean, I think this was a long time coming, right? We saw, like, the city council meetings in Glendale that they wanted the Coyotes out. But I'm kind of glad that this happened after we had Robin Liano on to talk about the Coyotes, because I'm sure that they're sick of having to talk about this kind of stuff with the Coyotes. And, like, I know I'm sick of it too. Like, how long has it been that we've been talking about, oh, like, are the Coyotes going to move? Are they going to do this? And, like, nobody wants them. They can't make money. They're in ridiculous debt. It's like, just do something, figure it out, or move, get it over with, rip off the Band-Aid so that we can talk about their hockey team instead. I'm so tired of it, you know?
So am I, and I feel bad because, like, it's just one thing after another for the Coyotes. I mean, we've talked about...
It's hard on the fan base.
Yeah, it's hard on the fan base. They really haven't had time to, like, they've been set back so much, like, growth-wise, because of, like, all these management issues, moving the team around in Arizona, you know, going from, you know, what was it, the Phoenix Coyotes to, you know, the Arizona Coyotes, just, you know, the issues with John Chayka and his, like, sudden, you know, removal from the team because of, you know, trying to land a job elsewhere or taking a job elsewhere. There's just been a lot of stuff surrounding this Coyotes franchise, and it's a shame that it's, you know, really seemed to hamper their ability to build consistent fan base, because hockey does work in Arizona. The Arizona State Sun Devils are a, you know, very, you know, popular college hockey team. They're one of the, like, the newest Division I hockey teams, and they really have a strong fan base. I mean, I know some of that comes from, you know, being a college team, but still, like, hockey does work in the desert, and I really hope that the Coyotes continue to stay in Arizona, because I think it'll best benefit the league and the team and the fans, because, you know, moving them would really suck. The biggest, you know, possible locations for them to move to, do they go back to Phoenix? Do they go to Tucson? Or Tempe is another place that they have been looking to build an arena in, I believe, for some time. So that's a possibility. But Glendale seems to be out right now for the Coyotes, unless, you know, this is all a posturing move and they do come to another agreement. That can always happen. I wouldn't be able to tell you how these things work, but that seems to be on the table too. But it is looking less and less likely they will go back. I really don't want them to relocate. And that is definitely, you know, the worst possible option for them. If they did, I would assume maybe somebody like a city like Houston might be.
Yeah, Houston makes the most sense.
Houston makes the most sense geographically. I know people want, you know, Quebec.
Not happening.
Is not happening. But I think Houston would probably be the most likely to receive a relocated team. But I definitely think that it is, you know, last resort, absolute panic button. move. One of my coworkers at For the Win, also aptly named Andrew, he was a really big proponent of putting the Coyotes in the baseball stadium, which is like a, I think has like a roof. I believe I had to look this up because I was confused. I think it's called Chase Field. Please do not go after me, Arizona people. But he was a big proponent of when that news broke. He was like, just put him there because he lives in Arizona. And I'm like, you know what? I could see it happening, but I think that might be a big stretch because it's, you know, a baseball arena. And I don't know if the NHL would like the dimensions and stuff. It would just mess, I think, too much with, you know, not the sanctity of, you know, hockey, but I think it would mess too much with, you know, the day-to-day operations. But I thought that that was a really cool idea. But I think that there is a chance for them to, you know, either get a new arena in Tempe or, you know, try something wacky. But I really hope they stay in Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, I think the NHL has bent over backwards many times now to keep them in Arizona, so it doesn't seem likely that they would just give in. But then I look at what happened with Atlanta, which was a major issue with ownership, right? And eventually the NHL was just like, you know what, enough is enough. And it happened very quickly where they were moved to Winnipeg. So if this does happen, it would not surprise me if they were playing in Houston like next year.
Yeah.
Not 2021-22, but the year after. There's no temporary thing. I also find it's kind of inconvenient and annoying that this didn't happen for like this last season where there was no fans.
Yeah.
You know, like that would have been so much easier for the Coyotes to manage. But yeah, it's a big deal now. Because I feel like last year if it happened, it would have been cool if they were like, let's just play every game at Lake Tahoe, like when the NHL did the outdoor games there, and it was so beautiful, except for the whole sun melting the arena thing. But it sucks. I think there's not much more to say about it. I don't think anybody really wants them to move outside of like the hungry Canadian people who want every American team to move to Canada. But you never want to see a team's a fan base have their team ripped from them.
Yeah. Exactly. It's always a tough situation when, you know, relocation happens, because I mean, I've seen it a couple times. I mean, I know I definitely miss, you know, the Atlanta Thrashers and now the actual current Winnipeg Jets. But, you know, it must be tough to lose a team like that just because of either external factors or, you know, money, as it always is. But
yes. You know, speaking of money.
Yeah, speaking of money, because I don't know why that's a really good transition for Henrik Lundqvist moving, but you know.
I will go into it right now if you want.
Sure, go for it.
Okay,
but Henrik Lundqvist retired, guys.
Yes, Henrik Lundqvist retired. He tried to come back again and couldn't work it out with the issue with his heart. I find it kind of embarrassing that the New York Rangers never had to actually buy him out. He never played another game. They could have just let it go, and he could have just been on LTIR until he retired with that heart surgery. So they went through that whole embarrassing situation where they bought out possibly the franchise's greatest player, and he moved on to another team without playing a game, and then he retired. Like, now they're like, oh, we're going to retire his jersey. It's like, guys, you bought him out last year. Like, I know you're going to retire his jersey, obviously, because he's a legend there, but like, if you would have been patient and read the room a little, you didn't actually have to do that.
Yeah.
So, like, they went through this process for no reason whatsoever.
That's true, but I really think that there's kind of no harm, no foul here, because he never did play a game at the Capitals.
No, but you still bought him out.
I know.
You bought out, like, the franchise's, like, the face of the franchise. Like, that is embarrassing to me, and I'm sure some Rangers fans won't agree, but to me, I'm looking at that, and I'm like, what a joke.
I mean,
it makes you look like a joke franchise, which is kind of part and parcel to how the Rangers have been run the last year.
I mean, fair enough. To me, all of that stuff that happens, I kind of forgot about it because of, you know, the COVID year that happened. I mean, obviously he, you know, moved to Washington, but never played a game. And then it was, you know, will he or won't he be able to come back? That was always kind of like, you know, in the forefront of my mind, less so that the Rangers messed up and, you know, got rid of a Hall of Fame, their franchise goaltender, faced the franchise for forever and ever. But getting back, I guess, into the meat of this story, he retires after 15 seasons and he played all of his games at the Rangers, had 459 wins, won Vezina Trophy, and a save percentage of .918. So, Andrew, what is Lundqvist's legacy in the NHL? He never won a Stanley Cup, which really, really sucks for somebody like him. Good dude, you know, played his heart out, got really close with the Rangers, but they lost in the Stanley Cup final. What's his legacy? Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer, but where do you see him ranking in the NHL? Because I know that was like a sticking point for some hockey fans after some, you know, tweets went around that he wasn't as maybe good as, you know, people thought he was because of what were people arguing about?
Like, oh, it was that his save percentage is inflated a little bit by the Rangers' hometown scoring bias, which is true. Both his save percentage overall and his like high danger save percentage, so like the goals saved above average, the Rangers scorekeepers are terrible. And when you break Lundqvist's splits out between like home and road, there is quite a sizable gap. But even if you remove that and adjust for that, he still comes out as the greatest goaltender of his generation. And I the way I would define that is maybe a little bit different than some other people, because like Roberto Luongo is, for most of Lundqvist's career, a contemporary, right? But Roberto Luongo's best years were before Lundqvist was in the league. So I see Roberto Luongo is kind of the bridge of the gap between the Waugh, Belfour, Brodeur era, Dominic Hasek era, and the Lundqvist Price era. And Luongo is the best of his in-between era, whereas Lundqvist is the best of the era that came after, edging out Price for having a much longer plateau in his career, whereas Price had the much higher peak for a shorter period of time. So it's an interesting situation, but I think at this point, Luongo is the only goaltender that you could say is in competition with Lundqvist as the best goaltender of all time to never win a Stanley Cup. And I think that's where Lundqvist's legacy is right now. I think overall, you look at how he spent his entire career essentially with the New York Rangers, and I see it as like they didn't do enough to win for him. You know, like he was just so great for so long. You have to think that there's got to be something. And it's kind of the same situation as the Montreal Canadiens, where like both teams had runs, but they were never actually legit competitors or contenders, I should say. They're competitors, they're playoff teams, but they were never actually legit contenders for a long enough time to actually bust through and win a cup. So Lundqvist is possibly the greatest goaltender outside of like Waugh, Hasek in NHL history. Like he is that good, especially when you look at like break it down to the minutiae of if you're one of those people who believes in like clutch gene, you know, like his clutch play, unbelievably spectacular. His game 7 record, I think, is like 15-4 or something like that. His elimination game record is spectacular. I think he had like 2 games in his whole career where he allowed more than 2 goals. Like, just an incredible goaltender. Sad to see it end not necessarily on his terms, but that is kind of the way that goalies retire nowadays, is they're injured out of the league. Same thing happened to Roberto Luongo. So he was great to the end. And I see him as just a fantastic player, and I'm privileged that we got to watch him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it definitely fits with the theme we were talking about a couple of weeks ago of, you know, this generation of hockey players is, you know, retiring. Yep. And leaving the game. And it's tough to see, because you're right that he's probably the best goalie I've watched in my, you know, hockey fandom career. As I have pointed out, I am a younger hockey fan, so I didn't have the privilege of watching, you know, the greats of the past era. But it has really been a privilege to watch Lundqvist, and it really sucks that he never got a Stanley Cup, because he's one of the ones that deserved it and is definitely up there in terms of, you know, the guys that didn't win that were, you know, really good players. So I really echo everything you said. I don't really think there's anything else to add other than that he's a Hall of Famer. Excited to see his, you know, jersey retirement next season, and his it's a Twitter post was really, really heartfelt. And
yeah,
he said he had a quote, he's like, I never regretted any of it, or something like that. Just class act to the ends. Great dude. Hope all the best for him in the future in terms of, you know, his, you know, just personal life away from hockey. I think that's, I guess, all we can ask for. You know, that his health continues to, you know, be better, and that he lives a very good, long, and healthy life outside of hockey.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think that, like I said, I think that's all we can... There's no Henrik Lundqvist haters here on this podcast, is what we're getting at here. But
100%.
Yeah. Coming up next, though, we're going to have our interview with the Lockdown Sharks guys. What are they called? The Content Boys? Is that what they call themselves?
The Content Boys
is what they call themselves. Kyle Demetrius and JD Young. We're going to have an interview with them coming up next. A lot of fun. But before we get to that, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you needed in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, Box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Welcome back to the Crosscheck NHL show. Andrew and I are joined here by two guests. I think this is the first time we've had four people on this podcast, in my memory anyway, since we started doing this. But we've got the guys from Locked On Sharks, Kyle Demetrius and JD Young. How are you guys doing today?
I don't know what the level of joke I can make on the show is.
Go for it.
I mean, we're on the same network, guys.
Yeah.
I was going to say, who doesn't like a good couple swap?
All right. You know what? I guess I'll allow it, maybe, because I'm the one hosting this today. And if I didn't, I would exit out of the Zoom immediately, but I won't do that for you guys.
Well, so, I'm the Locked On Sharks for all your jokes and more.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you. Well, thank you guys for joining us on the show. It's been a lot trying to, you know, wrangle a bunch of people into doing stuff in our free time, but I'm glad you both have, you know, hung on and, you know, are here with us to talk about the Sharks. So I guess we'll get right into it as we do with these interviews. So with the Sharks, who is in and who is out so far this offseason for San Jose?
Who isn't in?
So they did make a couple moves. Doug Wilson, he had a checklist going into the season of he wanted to improve the goaltending. And he wanted to find a 3C. So he went to free agency. He had his coupons because he didn't have a lot of money going into free agency. So, you know, he did his coupon shopping. They acquired Aiden Hill from the Coyotes and signed James Reimer as a backup. And then they also acquired Andrew Cogliano, or they signed Andrew Cogliano and then Nick Bonino to help kind of shore up that bottom six. So those are kind of the quote unquote big additions for the Sharks.
How dare you forget Nick Merkley?
Oh, and Nick Merkley and Lane Pettersson. So, well, come on down. Yes. So, Doug Wilson, like I said, he didn't have a lot of money to spend, but I thought he spent his money wisely to try to kind of fill up a bottom six that definitely needed some help after last season.
Yeah.
And who's out?
Yeah.
Martin Jones!
Yeah, and he's
Ding
on
dong, the witch is dead.
He's on the Flyers now, which I guess you guys can, you know, maybe assuage any, you know, Flyers fans' fears or, you know, stoke them back to life.
No.
Because I know that that's a big sticking point for Flyers fans, and in the circles I run in,
what's the sticking point? Oh, yeah, that's fine. I thought you were going to say there's sticking point where some people think it's a good signing.
No. People are not happy. People thought that, you know, Chuck Fletcher was going to get a better backup for Carter Hart, and it did not happen.
Especially if Carter Hart continues his 2020-2021 season, that's probably not going to go well for anybody involved.
Yeah, my hope is that it's just, you know, an outlier. But I did find that stat really funny that Martin Jones actually had a higher save percentage than any of the Flyers goalies last year. I don't remember the exact numbers, but yes, he did. The Flyers goalies were that catastrophically bad, like that historically bad. It was that terrible. Oh.
Martin Jones hasn't had above 900 save percentage, I think, in four seasons.
Yeah.
3 years. Yeah, 896. 896 the past three. So if you want consistency, Martin Jones is your man. 896.
I was going to say, he's like the most consistent goaltender in the league the last 3 years.
Yeah.
He's just consistently awful.
Consistently better than the Flyers were last year.
So is Carter Hart, he's technically sound, stays in his crease, real quiet, real Carey Price, Henrik Lundqvist style, right?
Yeah. Flyers one of those
for a treat.
Oh boy.
So Martin Jones, Martin Jones is going to end up in Delaware quite frequently. He's going to push off and the man doesn't know just how to slide. Stop. He just slides into the next time zone.
I think Flyers fans are familiar with that because remember for a very long time, Philadelphia was a goaltender wasteland. So I think we've seen everything in Philadelphia.
That's disrespectful to Roman Chechmanek.
I'm so sorry.
That is Galov.
Okay, Bruce Golub is more of my speed, as I am
Robert Ash?
A young
Robert Ash.
I am a young, sadly, a young hockey fan. But yes, going back to the Sharks, though, because we've had enough of our time roasting Martin Jones here.
Time roasting Martin Jones. I've had to deal with this three terrible seasons in a row. There's never enough time to roast Martin Jones.
Martin Jones, noted good guy.
Yeah, noted good guy. He is, yes.
Well, that's good. That's nice to know that he's at least a good guy. His hockey may not be up to par, but, you know, it's always good to have, you know, good guys on the team. But you mentioned that there are some changes, especially at, in goal. It really seems like, you know, the Sharks have, you know, changed over a lot. But how will this, you know, like I said, change your team? What are you guys, like, I don't want to say expecting because we'll get to that later, but do you think your style of play will change? Do you think anything along that lines is going to change for you guys this year?
No. They just plugged in the holes that just, so the problem was, is that San Jose wanted to play Bob Bugner's style and they didn't have the resources or manpower to do it. So the third line in San Jose is typically a defensive line, pretty much hard matched against, not the top line, but they'll go out against the second lines often, third lines, and they're not relied on for offense. Last year's 3C was a revolving door. And forgive me if you've never heard of these people, Noah Gregor, Sasha Shimolevsky, 45-year-old Patrick Marleau played 3C for a double-digit amount of games. So
the gambler, Dylan Gambrell.
Oh, Dylan Gambrell, if you've ever heard of him. He knew when to hold them, and he folded them repeatedly last year. So they just didn't have the resources to do it. And so Nick Bonino is a pretty good 3C, even though he's like 34 at this point. He's still a good 3C, and he'll be relied on to just play that defensive role. So adding him and then adding Andrew Cogliano in another defensive role is how they use their bottom six, is just going to be able to let the whole team play they want to. But the biggest problem here is that if none of the big contracts play up to their contracts, then they're so screwed.
Yeah. I think with this too, because last year there was a lot of pressure on Couture to have to play, kind of carry the offense and also have to play a shutdown defensive role. So you hope with like Bonino being able to kind of take on more of that defensive responsibility, it'll allow Couture to kind of flourish in the offensive zone some more and get some more offensive zone starts and not having to play all those hard defensive minutes. So, and he played well until he got hurt last year. And then after he got hurt, that whole top line just kind of fell apart. So.
Yeah, it is kind of, Andrew and I have actually talked about actually recently on the show, you know, the Sharks' woes on the ice and in terms of like their, you know, cap structure too, because there was a recent article in The Athletic. Yeah, there's a recent article in The Athletic talking about, you know, the worst contracts in the NHL and how the Sharks have three of them.
I'm surprised they only had three.
Yeah, it is looking at their cap friendly page, but the ones that they singled out were, I believe Logan Couture, Erik Karlsson, and Mark Edward Vlasic were like the big guys, which, you know, it is surprising to me that some of these players are up in age as they are, because I think Andrew and I, we discussed that how the Sharks almost felt timeless in a sense, because, you know, they had these young guys for a long time and they were just always successful, you know, making deep playoff runs, going to the Stanley Cup final, and then things just kind of fell off a cliff and fell apart. And then you're like, wow, these people are actually now old. So can you guys talk a little bit about, you know, the, you know, underperformances of somebody like Erik Karlsson, who, you know, when he was brought in seemed to be like a very big get, but is really kind of, I don't know, disappointed is the
correct
word?
That's not true.
Okay. All right. Then explain.
That's not true at all. Erik Karlsson was absolutely elite when they acquired him for his first season, 2018-19. He got off to a slow start, but he slow starts everywhere. He was absolutely dominant for like 30 straight games. He's almost at a point per game. Then he hurt his groin and got rushed back. But in the playoffs on half a groin, he put up a point per game on their run to the Western Conference Finals. He was legitimately unbelievably good that first season. Then they signed him to the big contract and he was still hurt the next season and he's been underperforming. Yes, we can't get around that. But Erik Karlsson hasn't been complete disaster since they acquired him. Just want to put that out there because this is what I do with my life now. I just defend Erik Karlsson from everybody. Yes. But Logan Couture is 30. He's a week younger than I am. He's 32 years old. He got hurt. Is he going to keep getting hurt? Probably. Thomas Hertl has 4 knee ligaments left total and is held together by popsicle sticks. So like he could explode at any point. Brent Burns didn't even make that list of bad contracts. Brent Burns is 30. How old are you, JD?
You're 36.
Yeah. Brent Burns is 36 years old. Is he going to keep playing at this level? No, probably not. And he signed for like 5 more years. Evander Kane.
Over. Yeah.
Might not even be on the team. So like, it's really bad, but the problem is trying to recreate Joe Thornton's prime with Logan Couture just doesn't work. Because in 2016, when the Sharks went to the Cup final, Joe Thornton was 37, I think, 38 or something like that at that point, and he was still putting up almost a point per game. So that kind of production is hard to reproduce, and when you have a lot of contracts that aren't living up to that, it's just 15 years of contending is a long time, and now they're reaping what they sow. What's that tweet? Me reaping?
I love that reaping. Tweet.
Yeah.
It's in the same vein as the tweet that's like, oh yes, the consequences of my actions. I love that. I love those two tweets. I reference those constantly because I completely understand.
So it was just a trade-off. Do you want to compete every year, basically be a cup contender year in, year out since 2003? They went to the final once, they went to the Western Conference final another 4 or 5 times. They were legitimately good all those years, and they only missed the playoffs in 2014 and I think in 2006, something like 15, that. And then after that at the end. So like, that's a long time to be really good. And this is the first time that pretty much any Sharks fan has seen a bad team if you're under the age of 40. They've only missed the playoffs one like 8 times in their 31 years. It's insane. We've been lucky without
practice. That's where I was going to pivot to, or at least, you know, in terms of, you know, anecdotally, it always has sucked to see that, you know, the Sharks never got it done. And like I said, they always seem to be in the mix. Hey, I'm empathetic here for you. That's my job. But it does suck that they, you know, never made it to, like, they never got that Stanley Cup that, you know, they were clearly pushing for, and obviously, you know, around a lot, like, you know, they made the final, they were constantly like contenders. So it is one of those things where like they had their last gasp and they fell off a cliff quite dramatically. Is there anything, do you think, that could, you know, push the players on those bad contracts, you know, your Erik Karlsson's, your Logan Couture's, like, you're not expecting a lot out of them, but what I guess would be a reasonable expectation, so they're not, you know, terrible. I mean, you had mentioned that Erik Karlsson wasn't as bad as we had thought he was, but, you know, is there anything that could, you know, make these guys, like, you know, a little bit better in your minds if they just, you know, play better, or, you know, not as bad defensively, that kind of stuff?
Retirement.
I think this year with the kind of better depth, especially in the center, because you know, after Couture and Hurdle, there's really not much there. So you hope a guy like Bonino can kind of help solidify that third line and then make this team. So again, like guys like Hurdle and Couture aren't having to play all these kind of more defensive minutes. So you're hoping maybe there's a better distribution with the depth there within the minutes. That way kind of let those guys do their thing. And, you know, if Erik Karlsson, if he's not trying to, like, you know, if he's not making these great like blue line to blue line passes to guys, you know, like, Liam Bergman or something like that, where you're having better quality guys receiving it. That way it's not, they're not just going to like fumble the puck and do nothing with it. And, you know, as much as we love Patrick Marleau, or I love Patrick Marleau, Kyle is still indifferent, but like, I mean, the dude didn't have it last year. And I think just, you know, getting some of these younger guys on there on the team and letting them kind of get more minutes and kind of continue to grow and develop. So hopefully if everything kind of bounces right, I think the Sharks could do a lot better this year, and not having Martin Jones just back there as Swiss cheese. I think the recipe is there for the Sharks have a bounce back season.
Okay. So I guess we'll get to, you know, the big question is the expectations question. You said a bounce back season, and we're heading back to the regular division format this year, except you guys will be in the Pacific. You're slotting in the Seattle Kraken and taking out the Arizona Coyotes, but you are in what Andrew and I have talked about considerably, and with, you know, other hosts here, that the Pacific is the weakest division.
Because
the Sharks are one part of that weakest division. What do you guys see the Sharks making any inroads? Is it, you know, between the three California teams, are you going to fight for the top of the California teams? There's obviously, I don't think you guys have any playoff expectations, but I want you guys to see, you know, set the record straight here. And what do you guys expect out of this team?
God, I hope they don't. Shane Wright is too nice.
I think the thing is, they're not going to be bad enough to like be the super tank like the Coyotes and the Sabres, you know.
They're in the creamy middle, and it sucks.
it sucks. So yeah, I think they will be in playoff contention. I don't know if they're going to be good enough to break through the playoffs, especially with Vegas kind of just already punching their first round ticket this early. But yeah, I think they'll be better and they'll probably be more enjoyable to watch, but I don't think they're going to be as like Shane Wright bad.
LA is going to be the best California team. I don't know how they're not, especially signing Dano to be their 3C or 2C, and then Byfield is the other 2 or 3C, and then bringing up Kaliev, Bjornfoot, Mikey Anderson are all on this team. I think Brent Clark has a real shot to make the team. They're just Alex Turcotte. Everybody forgets that Alex Turcotte just exists in the Kings system, and he was nasty. So if the Kings aren't the best California team, something went horribly, horribly awry. The problem with San Jose is that they don't want to be on the Minnesota Wild treadmill, where you finish eighth and you make the playoffs and then get absolutely curb stomped by Vegas, or you just miss and now you're picking 14th in the draft and you don't do anything. San Jose, as much as our Lord and Savior William Eklund has landed, they still need some other top end guys, and getting a Shane Wright or a Slavkovsky or a Lambert, or, and then the next year Bedard or Michkov, they need another one of these guys, because they're not going to have the ability to go out and sign a Taylor Hall for $6 million when they have Kane for seven, Burns for eight, Vlasic for 7.5, Carlson for 11.5. Yeah. So
it's they need these young guys, like,
yeah. Super, and I just don't know guys. I think the addition of Aiden Hill and James Reimer is going to make them, they're going to steal games rather than give away games on the most part. And I think that's kind of bad for the long-term outlook.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that you wish Martin Jones was back.
Yeah, I actually was a big proponent of keeping him, because if the Sharks are going to be bad, why have these cap hits for six more years when you could cut off two of them and the cap hit is smaller if you buy him out next year? I came around on that. I understand the optics because my eyes hurt, but
I can't do it anymore.
But like, yeah, it's the organization is always frontwardly. We are trying to make the playoffs, and their moves indicate that, with Bonino, Cogliano, more competition in the bottom six with Nick Merkley, and then bringing in two competent goalies, well, one competent goalie and possibly a good goalie in Aiden Hill. So I'm just scared that they're going to end up drafting 15th and nothing happens. And then they're bad. They're on the treadmill of mediocrity forever.
Yeah. The Flyers used to be on that treadmill for some time. So I completely understand in the face of that, you want your team actually to be worse, because then it gives you a higher chance of success with a better draft pick.
Yeah, we need to dry island some of these people and get them out here.
Oh boy, what a reference. Part of me wants the Sharks to, maybe trade some of their guys to try and get some, like, a first round pick or so to maybe, move up in the draft. Like you said, though, I don't know if that's like one of those things the Sharks will do, because publicly facing, they're like, we'll make the playoffs, we'll do
it. And Marc-Edouard Vlasic, in his best Quebecois, said, I am not going anywhere. He has a full no move clause. So he said, I'm not going anywhere. Erik Karlsson has a full no move clause, and I don't think he's really going anywhere. Brent Burns did three say teams. He was open. He has three teams that he can go to, but he did say he was open to exploring that. So I think if things go really awry this year, Brent Burns could be on his way out. I don't know who's touching Evander Kane. Logan Couture is the captain, so I don't think they're trading him. And
Hurdle's the one, because Hurdle's on his contract. Is the contract season for Hurdle
this year? Yeah,
and he could fetch a nice bounty for a team trying to make a cup run. So,
yeah, Timo Meier, eminently available.
And I mean, who is it? Who was it last year at the trade deadline that fetched a first? Was it Nick Foligno that got a first?
Hold on, but trading with Toronto is not fair, because Kyle Dubas isn't boy genius.
No, anymore. I was gonna say, if Nick Foligno can get a first, then I'm pretty sure Tomas Hurdle could net a first.
Oh, Hurdle could definitely.
Barkley Goodrow got a first. Okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
San Jose has historically done pretty well in trading off assets at the deadline, but
so that's an avenue there for them. And it is nice, though, Kyle, that somebody else on this podcast also recognizes that the Kings might actually be kind of sneaky good this year, because high on them, and Angel was like,
No, so who
they're gonna be good,
if you logically go through the Pacific, you got Vegas in first. If they don't finish first, just fold the franchise, just get rid of it. Edmonton, they got demonstrably worse. So Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, I think, will will them to a playoff spot, because the division's bad, but that team is horrendous. Who knows what's going on in Calgary? I think they're gonna be sneaky, because they kept basically the same team that's not, like, was pretty decent. Vancouver is a tire fire. Anaheim is a tire fire. San Jose is a dumpster fire. Seattle, I think that was one of the worst expansion drafts I've ever seen in my entire life. They're weaponizing their cap space for Alex Lundberg. Sick work. So I don't think they're going to be very good. They could sneak in the playoffs. Seattle could, because the division's not very good. But that leaves nobody's really that good other than Vegas. So LA, especially with Cal Peterson being pretty good in net, they're really transitioning out of the Jonathan Quick era to Cal Peterson. They're good. Dano is going to feast on the Nick Boninos of the world and the Logan Coutures and the Trevor Zegerses. He's going to go wild.
Yeah.
Not scoring any goals, but
yeah, I'm looking forward to watching them. I'm still a little bit out on Seattle right now, as Andrew and I've talked to the podcast, mostly because I don't want to, you know, Vegas 2.0 this and the Axie are somehow good. And then I don't want to, you know, get clipped saying that, you know, I always thought that they were going to be bad and then get ratioed on Twitter.
Who is scoring goals for them?
I know, this is the point. I can see their identity as a defensive team is clear, but you're right. Who is scoring goals for them?
I'm really interested to see if Grubauer is any good away from that powerhouse Colorado team.
Yeah. This is true. I do think though that average. That's valid, but I think Seattle's maybe strength is their defense, because they've built such a defensive system in terms of, like, you know, their defense, but also on offense, they're mostly a lot of them are, you know, known as defensive forwards. So I really think that
is anyone scared of Yanni Gourde? I don't think so.
No, but you are right though. But I am, you know, hoping to be proven wrong, because I think that they are my second favorite team just by branding alone. But before we let you guys go, can you plug your stuff, the podcast? What are you guys working on? Your Twitters, anything else?
You want me to go, JD?
This is my go ahead, little... buddy. This is your thing.
Yes, my thing. So today, when is the show coming out?
Tuesday.
So our most recent episode, so yesterday, we're from the past, the Ghost of Christmas Past. If you go back and search the most recent show, we just put up an interview with Thomas Bortolo, who is the University of Michigan standout. He won Rookie of the Year last year. He's probably the number two prospect in San Jose system. So it's 40 minutes of that. Really good stuff. He talks about the Michigan program a little bit, talks about the other guys on the team. If you're not exactly interested in Thomas Bortolo's sock wearing habits, which we get into, you can check that out. Other than that, we keep putting out different content. We take fan requests on what they want to see. So we ranked the five best first round picks in Sharks history. We've talked jerseys. We have the five most underrated players in Sharks history coming up. So more than happy to take anybody's requests in the offseason. If you really want to go back and get in draft coverage, we have over 20 hours of draft coverage with experts from around the hockey world. Check that out. JD is at My Fry Hole, which is spelled exactly how you think.
Kyle is at Kyle Demetrius, the way you spell words that are spelled that way.
And then the show is at Locked on Sharks, and it's shitposting season, and we're called the Content Boys. So, like, don't be alarmed when you show up and it doesn't say Locked on Sharks and there's Eric Carlson eating an apple. That's just us.
That's us.
You know, I have a suggestion for some content. Worst Martin Jones moments. Ooh. Just to, you know, do a send off for him and then twist the knife in a little bit deeper for Flyers fans.
Play some sentiment.
I did
music.
That on the Locked on Flyers podcast. So.
Oh, did you? Oh, poor Rachel. Oh, breaks her. I love her. The must broken her heart.
We are officially a pro Martin Jones podcast again because he's gone. So now he's a good guy. We will not be slandering Marty anymore.
All right. You know what? I respect that line and I'm here for it. But coming up next, we'll have either another interview or we'll go right to our pop culture segment right after this. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. And the new and improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out, as you've got coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. There's something for everyone with Built Bar, and if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box, where you get each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Built Bar is great for any health-conscious person, as you can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. All the Built Bar flavors have between 17 to 18 grams protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams sugar, only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. All amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie, or whatever you'd like. All bars are covered in 100% chocolate and are soft and easy to chew. So go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 50% off the next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Welcome back to the Crosscheck NHL show. It's just me, Mary Clark here. Andrew can't make it because he's got prior commitments, sadly, of being an adult with two kids. But joining me is Locked on Lightning host, Adam Denker, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Barry, glad to be here. You know, it's we spoke about before we hit the record button. This is kind of the, I guess, the last leg of my victory lap for the offseason until we ramp up things for preseason and the upcoming season. And I'm glad to do it on CrossTruck.
Yeah, thank you. Speaking of the victory lap, I guess that's the biggest thing because, I mean, it's really like the only thing you can like talk about with the Lightning is back-to-back champions. I guess like give us the, are you on the ground? Are you in Florida?
No, I'm actually based in New York. So I'm in enemy territory for the last 2 years with their series against the Islanders. So, but it was good to see, you know, kind of the disappointed look of Islander fans as they walked around the city. And you could tell just by the mood that, you know, the kind of like the aura that people were carrying around with them. I actually grew up a Rangers fan. I just happened to cover the Lightning mainly because, you know, I grew up a huge Marty St. Louis fan. And, you know, that's how things worked out when Locked On brought. So it was an easy transition. But yeah, it was glad to see a lot of my Islander fans kind of be disappointed for the second year in a row, as well as, you know, obviously the Lightning repeating as Stanley Cup champions.
Oh yeah, I can only imagine. And it's really funny. We don't have, we have Gil Martin. We already have that interview scheduled for later this week. Sadly, you're not on the same, you know, the same episode, but that would have been really funny. So I guess to kick things off, who's in and who's out so far this offseason? I mean, you know, Tampa Bay has been partying, but there's still been a lot of moves that have been made. And as we'll get into it, there's a lot of changes. So tell me about them.
Yeah, a lot of changes, that Lightning fans knew were coming. And you saw it during that last game of the finals where Coach John Cooper even said it to his guys after the game when they're hoisting the cup, enjoy this because this is the last time we're going to be together. And he was absolutely right. It's been no secret with the salary cap being as it is the last couple of years due to COVID that unfortunately there was going to be some very good players that were not going to be wearing Lightning sweaters, as well as with the expansion draft. Yanni Gord obviously going to Seattle. That was no big shock there, as he has just played out of his mind the last couple of years. And a lot of that has to do with his performance in the playoffs. Yanni Gord going into the 2019-20 season, the jury was still out on where he was going to be, what his reputation was going to be in the NHL. Obviously, he's known for being a hard-nosed, gritty player. But during these last two playoff runs, especially this most previous one, he really took his offense up to another level. And that's what it came down to for Seattle. And that's the kind of guy, I think you would agree, Mary, that's the kind of guy you want to build a franchise around. Yanni Gordy's still young. He's not even 30 yet. And he's in the prime of his career. You know, he's gone from a second, third line forward to possibly being maybe a first line forward up there in Seattle. So, you know, Lightning fans, we hate to see him go, but you know what? We wish him the best of luck and possibly could be the face of that franchise going forward. And then you have, you have guys like most notably Pierre-Édouard Bellemare, who came in, gritty guy, came into the NHL late in his career. He's 35 right now, but he's going to slide in really well into that last gritty line alongside Patrick Maroon. Corey Perry, who also was signed in the offseason, who knows the Lightning very well. He was part of the last two losing teams with Dallas 2 years ago, and then actually a year ago, and then actually 10 months ago. Everybody forgets that the Lightning had to, you know, win Stanley Cup championships 10 months apart. So Corey Perry was with Dallas 10 months ago, and now this time at Montreal. So, you know, it's one of those things where I hate to get cliche, but if you can't beat them, join them, kind of thing. But glad to have him aboard. Very talented player, and can't wait to see how that last line forms out.
Yeah, and I mean, I think one of like the beating hearts of Tampa Bay's team was the, you know, Blake Coleman, Barkley Gaudreau line that made up, like I said, the heart of the team. And they have since exited. One of them went to New York. So interesting stuff there. But how do you think that's the team's going to change without that line involved? Because, I mean, obviously they weren't like the major reason for Tampa Bay's success, but they were a big part of the team, and they drove a lot of what made Tampa Bay special. So can you talk about how that will change the team? And if you think their replacements, you know, the Corey Perrys, the Pierre-Édouard Bellemares, how do you think that they'll step into those roles, if they will at all?
Well, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head, especially with Blake Coleman. I mean, Barkley Goodrow did a fantastic job within the time that he wore a Lightning jersey. He came in around the trade deadline, just around the time the Lightning traded for Blake Coleman as well. And those two, the effect they had on this team on that third line especially was you saw it right away. You know, it took some time for them to get to know each other because they really – you know, they didn't really play with this team. As soon as, you know, the trade was made for both those guys, we had COVID hit, and those guys didn't really play any games with this team up until the playoffs. So that was their first experience, and you saw it right away, the impact those two had on the ice. And that what really was the game changer for this Tampa team, because really up until that point in the season, up until, you know, their last matchup with Boston heading into the COVID pandemic, we didn't know what kind of team this Tampa team was. They were still trying to find their identity. And then once Blake Coleman came in, once Zach Bogosian was signed after he was waived from Buffalo, and then you also had Barkley Goodrow come in, you had that grit. You had that sandpaper to come in to equal out all the smooth skill players that this Tampa Bay Lightning team has. And, you know, unfortunately, they had to leave as well just because of the cap situation. To, you know, if money wasn't a thing and there was no salary cap in the NHL, I think the Lightning would have easily given Barkley Goodrow the contract that he got up in Calgary. And I was talking with Jess from Locked On Calgary Flames that wait until you see this guy play, because he's going to be your favorite player right away. And unfortunately, you know, even though Barkley Goodrow is not with the Lightning as well, I get to see him up here in New York as well. So, you know, it's a win-win for me. But yeah, in terms of the guys having to slide in, that's been something that's kind of been a theme with this team the last 2 years as well, just because of the amount of injuries that we've seen from this team. Steven Stamkos over the last 2 years, Nikita Kucherov this entire season. So that has forced John Cooper to take young players from Syracuse in the AHL and really slide them into positions that some young guys may not get the opportunity to on some other teams. Matthew Joseph, Alex Barboulet. Just to name a few, Ross Colton, who really came alive down that stretch, who had the game-winning goal in game five to solidify the repeat. A lot of guys who've gotten a ton of chances young in their career, early on in their career. And that's going to be something that where, yes, it's going to take some time for them to really get used to playing every single day and to be huge pieces of this team going forward. But they've been there. They've done it. And so it's not going to be as big of a deer in the headlights reaction as we might see with other young players.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. So next year we're going back to the regular, you know, Atlantic Division format for you guys, ironically slotting up in the same division as the Montreal Canadiens. But you'll also be seeing, you know, some mainstays like, you know, your Bostons and your Torontos. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, going back into that division? Obviously, you probably see yourselves as the favorite as back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, but what's it going to be like facing off against Montreal again? I really think that there's some sort of rivalry that's formed there, but talk about going back into the divisions next year, since we've, you know, got your basic 82 game season with, you know, your divisions as we have seen them in the past.
Well, the Lightning have made a long list of enemies over the last couple of years with some of the teams they've had to play, and they're good rivalries. You know, they're good spirited rivalries. Like you said, Montreal is going to be their last season when we had kind of those, I guess, those geographical friendly divisions. The Lightning were playing against Dallas. So it's not, you know, they're used to kind of seeing the same faces over and over again to a certain degree. The one rivalry that I'm really looking forward to, other than Montreal, because make no mistake about it, some of the moves they have made, Montreal's going to be a very good team this year. But there's a couple of other teams that a lot of people aren't realizing that are going to make a big impact in this division. It's going to be the Florida Panthers, who we saw the battle for the Sunshine State for the first time ever in the playoffs this year. And that was a fantastic series. That series really could have gone either way if you don't have someone named Andre Vasilevsky playing in that. On the other side of that, you also have the Boston Bruins, who, yes, they're kind of on the downturn right now, but they're still the Boston Bruins. They still have David Pastrnak. They still have Brad Marchand. They still have Patrice Bergeron and a cast of other players who are able to contribute on a nightly basis. And then you also have the Toronto Maple Leafs. A lot of people don't count the Toronto Maple Leafs, obviously so, because of how things have really gone for that team over the last couple of years. You know, not really doing much in the playoffs. But I think, you know what, I think some of the additions they've made, especially, you know, you can't sleep on any team that has Austin Matthews on it and John Tavares. But, you know, the Lightning they're in a good spot. because they've learned a lot over the last couple of years. Yes, maybe fatigue might be against them just because of these last two runs, but I expect them to compete a whole lot this year. And I think anything less than second place would be a huge shock for this team.
You make a good point about the Panthers too. And I was remiss not talking about them, because you're right. They are like an up and coming team. And I'm really stoked to see, you know, the intra Florida battle. Cause I really think that's going to, you know, make a lot of good theater, and it's going to, I think, push both teams to their limits. And I think that's really what we want, is, you know, hockey fans, is to see some good hockey. But I guess last question before I let you leave, take your victory lap. What are you expecting for next season? Because you had said before I had pressed record that you are expecting big things out of this team. So take your victory lap one last time and throw me to the future of what next June is going to look like for this Tampa Bay Lightning squad.
Yeah, a lot of teams and a lot of fans probably are looking at the Tampa Bay Lightning going into this whole free agency period, the expansion draft. They're probably thinking, okay, Seattle's going to take a good player from them. They're not going to be able to make a lot of moves in free agency just because of the cap. But man, Julian Breezeboss, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning, if the Lightning are successful in getting a deep playoff run once again, you would have to imagine at that point, he is very well deserving of General Manager of the Year award. What he did in the offseason, bringing back Zach Bogosian, who was on the first Stanley Cup team, and a bunch of other players that I already mentioned, he did a fantastic job in retooling this team, having more and having more faith and you know, faith in this the young players that we've saw play throughout this team throughout the season. Because I said at the beginning of this season, going in, that this was going to be a weird season. There was going to be injuries. You have to play the young guys to get them the experience down the road, and that's exactly what we saw from this team. They were allowing players to figure it out in the midst of a season, which is wild when you think about it under normal circumstances. But that's the great thing about this franchise, is that, and you really don't see that much often in a team, you know, and I spoke about this with Hunter from Locked On Penguins. When we spoke about our two teams, what were things that changed and had to be done in the offseason after repeating. And we came to the conclusion that one of the hardest things in hockey, not only to repeat and even possibly three-peat, is to get better while you're still the best team in the league. And that's what the Lightning, I think, have done. And I think that if you were to ask me, which you basically are, can they swing a three-peat? I believe so. I think the chances of them, you know, I'm not going to lay it out as a percentage, because we could talk all day, you know, up and down, whether it's in the 80s or whatever the case may be. But I think anything short of a playoff run, Eastern Conference Finals, I would be shocked. I think this team has not only stayed in terms of the level of talent that they have at that level, I think they've gotten a little better by some of the young players they're going to be playing, because you're talking about guys who are just hitting into the primes of their careers, paired that with the Victor Hedmans, the Braden Points, the Andre Palats, guys like that, Steven Stamkos. I expect this team to be in major play possibly for the President's Trophy going forward.
All right. That's not only high praise, but high expectations. But yeah, I think all Lightning fans are setting themselves up with high expectations. And why not? Back-to-back Stanley Cup champions.
They don't call Tampa the city of champions for nothing.
Exactly. It's a Tampa Bay, or however you say it now in down in Florida. But all right, I think that's all we have. So before I go, like before we let you go, plug your stuff, please. What's up with your podcast? What are you up to? Plug your Twitter. Tell us.
Yeah, you could go and check out the show on Twitter at @LO_Lightning. Check us out on Instagram at @LockedOn_Lightning. We just did a fantastic interview with Kenny Albert last week. He came on the show to talk about the last two playoff runs, life inside the bubble in Edmonton, how he became a very good ping pong player because of that. Talk about just his life in general with, you know, all the sports, how he's seemingly in five different places in one day at a time, talking about his recent exposure with the Olympics. Great conversation. Definitely would implore all of you to go ahead and take a listen to that. We'll be having some guests on in the coming future as well. I have Alexandra Ackerman, who covers the Syracuse Crunch for Field Pass Hockey. Definitely check her out when that show drops. Fantastic interview with her. And then the second annual Kitchen Sink Special. Basically, it's where two hockey nerds get together, me and Locked On Avalanche host Chris Massilli, who is also my Locked On NHL host on Thursdays. We just basically nerd out for 3 hours or so about just everything hockey, everything life, pop culture. So definitely check that out. And give me a follow at Danky Dank, DenkyDank on Twitter. I talk about just basically everything. Give a shout out if you want to answer a question about the Lightning or just hockey in general. Love to hear from all of you as always.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on the show. And coming up next, we'll have our pop culture segment of the week right after this break. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest. The world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on Thursday, September 9th, season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code locked on. All right, Andrew. So we're back. I've got our pop culture segment of the week. And if it looks really dark on your end in my room right now, it's because it suddenly started raining here really, really heavily.
Oh, we could really use that. I would like probably stop the podcast and go outside.
Well, unfortunately, we can't stop the podcast right now and go outside. But it is raining hard right now for some reason in Pennsylvania. But moving on to our pop culture segment, I don't know what you have in terms of pop culture for this week. But I, this week, have been really digging into Ghost of Tsushima, again, on PS5 with the director's cut that just came out a handful of days ago. I played this game last year in 2020 when it came out at the end of the PS4 life cycle. One of my favorite games of last year. And they released a director's cut with, you know, PS5 enhancements and a new DLC with like a little, you know, islands to explore and stuff like that. I haven't gotten to that part yet because that's available in Act 2 of the game. And I wanted to restart the game and, you know, enjoy it all over again because I'm one of those people that really likes to do things like that when games get PlayStation 5 enhancements because it is so fun to, you know, go back and replay parts of the game and see how things have, you know, changed for the PlayStation 5 when they upgraded the graphics a little bit and the fast load times. It's just, it's been a lot of fun. I definitely recommend that game if you're into, you know, Assassin's Creed-like games and the like, and it's got a really interesting story and really good soundtrack. Definitely recommend it. Been really having a good time with that so far.
Yeah, I have not had a lot of time to play games, but I have been enjoying watching Killing Eve with my wife, which has been fun. I think so far the second season seems a little bit better than the first season. We're like 4 episodes in, I think. So interesting to watch Eve and Villanelle going at it and sparring essentially with their minds and manipulating each other. Very fun. Not much else going on, to be honest. That's pretty much it. This weekend was spent mostly containing the children who were having heat-induced and teething-induced temper tantrums at all times. So we're very glad that they're at daycare today. I'll say that.
Oh, that's nice. And good to see that you're making progress on Killing Eve. Like I said, I really enjoyed that show. I think there's, what, 3 seasons out, I feel like?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3
and
seasons.
And 4th season, supposedly, in 2022.
Yeah, that's right. I'm very excited for that, though. I might have to rewatch it because it has been some time since I watched that show, so I really do not remember. I mean, I remember stuff, but I might not remember, you know, the finer details. But like you said, it's really fun to watch that cast interact with one another. Sandra Oh, I believe, is the actress's
yes,
name. She's
yeah.
incredible. Really does good work. Is it Jodie Comer? Is that?
Yes, that's the
perfect. I'm glad I got their names right. Yeah, their dynamic is great. I really enjoy watching them on screen, and their acting is phenomenal. But it's glad to see you're continuing with that because I have yet to, you know, watch anything you have recommended to me. But maybe this week we'll see.
Only one of us watches things recommended, apparently.
This is
it's a one-way relationship, Mary.
This happens to me with a lot of my friends. They're always like, I will do things for you, but not for me. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I'm a terrible friend that way. But maybe I will, you know, watch Ted Lasso or...
Oh, you have to watch Ted Lasso.
I know that's in the middle of the season right now, isn't it? Like, I keep seeing people talk about it on Twitter after episodes release. So maybe I'll get into it. Maybe. We'll see. This is I never keep my promises when it comes to, you know, watching things or playing things. I'm so sorry.
It's all right, don't worry.
All right, but that's all the time we have for you today on the CrossTrek NHL Show. As part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice, from Apple to Odyssey to Spotify, and rate and review us while you're at it. You can follow the pod at CrossTrek NHL on Twitter, me at Mary C. Clark on Twitter, and Andrew at Andrew Berkshire on Twitter. We'll be back on Thursday with some more Puck Talk. See you next time. Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by the betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.